We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank. Up next, the latest on the Missouri Tigers from KCSN, which features multiple shows each week with Border War with former Missouri forward Jarrett Sutton and former Jayhawks guard Jeff Hawkins, and Mizzou That's Who with insider Gabe DeArmond, Maggie Johnson, and Tucker Franklin. The latest news, the top stories, and an insider perspective to keep you in the know. Make sure to follow us on your new home for Missouri Tigers podcast, KCSN. And now, the latest on Mizzou Athletics.
Hello and welcome into this week's edition of Mizzou That's Who, your podcast for Missouri Athletics here on KC Sports Network. I am Tucker Franklin, joined as always by Gabe DeArmond and Maggie Johnson. Big week for the Missouri Basketball Tigers as they were named a number 7 seed in the NCAA tournament in the South region. They'll be playing Utah State. We're going to be here to break that down. Might be a loose tease there, but we're going to talk about that game. But we've got some other things to talk about before we get there. So, Gabe, how are you doing this week?
Let me get to Tuesday afternoon when I'm driving to Kansas City to catch a plane to Sacramento. And I think at that point, I will be good. Right now, little frazzled.
For sure. I can understand that. Maggie, how have you been? How was your time watching the SEC tournament?
It was good. I'm not as frazzled as Gabe because I am just a fan who does this every week with you guys. So, I will not be going to Sacramento, but you have Gabe to cover it, so that's great. But, watching the SEC tournament was great. I wish we would have shot better against Alabama because I think Alabama was absolutely beatable in that game. They didn't shoot very well either, better than us, but... it would have been great to play in the finals, but had a great game against Tennessee. And then we got that 7 seed. So was hoping for a 6, but beggars can't be choosers.
We can have a larger conversation about seeding probably pretty soon. But I'm in kind of the same boat as Gabe, as I'm a little frazzled, but not for the same reason Gabe is frazzled. I'm frazzled because the Chiefs are in their off season. They're in the free agency, just started the day we're recording this podcast. So if you see me every now and again, look over at my phone, it's me making sure that I'm not missing the Chiefs signing, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. or trading for DeAndre Hopkins, or that's what I'll be doing over here. So let's talk about that SEC tournament. And the win over Tennessee was a big win for the program. They got to the semifinals for the first time in history. My favorite stat is they tied for as far as they made it in the tournament by just, you know, being the number 4 seed. They tied the furthest they've been there. Yeah. But they made it the furthest that they've ever been in the tournament by making it to the semifinal round. Gabe, what were your impressions from Mizzou's run in that conference tournament?
I thought they did what they kind of needed to do going down there. They proved, hey, this is not a fluke that we're the 4 seed. We're as good as this team that some of you computers seem to think is the 4th best team in America, for reasons unbeknownst to actual human beings that have watched basketball. And then, like Maggie said, Alabama was beatable on that day. Alabama does not start 2-for-20 from 3-point range very often. But I said very early in that game, like, Alabama can win this game without shooting it well, right? They don't have to play their best to win this game. Missouri was going to have to play pretty well to win that game because I hate that it's worked out this way because Alabama is a very easy team to dislike. Everything mm-hmm. they've done the last month, I mean, nothing Nate Oates has done endears you to them at all. They are absolutely deserving of the number one overall seed. I think they're the best team in the country. And what you saw on Saturday was an NBA lottery pick. Just say, all right, guys, let's go. I mean, Alabama's a team led by a top five NBA pick and multiple other pros. Missouri is a team led by a fringe NBA player and some guys that'll make money overseas. And I know that probably sounds like an insult to Missouri. It's not. It's a compliment that they're here. But I truly think Alabama is the best and maybe the most talented team in the country. And Missouri's not going to beat that team playing a, C-minus game?
Yeah.
Yeah, we shot 34% from the field, 28% from three. I mean,
a lot of that had to do with Alabama, I felt like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're a good defensive team, too. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But Tennessee's also a good defensive team. I mean, obviously, they were without one of their better defensive players in Zakai Ziegler. But we shot over 50% in that game. I think around 55. Yes. So, I mean, when Mizzou doesn't shoot well, they're not one of those teams that is going to be like, okay, well, we're rebounding really well, or we're doing these other things really well. I mean, it's basically we shoot well or we probably lose a game.
But the crazy thing was with like 7 or 8 minutes left, they weren't shooting well and they were still, I mean, they were down, fell behind by 8. And then they'd have a couple of possessions where they'd get it to 6, they'd get it to 5. And you said, if they can make one more stop, they're in a one possession game and this team's really good in that situation. And then Alabama was just too good and said, you're not going to, oh, we're 2 for 20, but we're just going to go 6 for 7 now. And Javon Quinterly, who hasn't made a shot all day, is just going to get in the lane and you're going to collapse on him. And it's just dunk city. I mean, Alabama was incredible the last 7 minutes of that game.
Right. I know I don't like to play the if game because, you know, if buts, candies, nuts, etc. If Missouri does end up beating Alabama in that game, they moved to the championship game. How much do you think that would have changed your seeding? Because I think a conversation is very interesting, and we've had this conversation before. K-State can go into the Big 12 tournament, lose their first game, and still be a 3 seed, right? Like, it's not, you're not going to get a whole lot of changes. And I know I saw some conversation on Twitter kind of about this too, about like, oh, Missouri would have beat them, they might have had a higher seed. I don't necessarily, I think the stuff's really already set going into the tournament, and it very infrequently moves. I think the conference tournament is probably a bigger chance for bubble teams in first four outs to kind of go their way out. Like the Michigan losing was like, okay, yeah, they're not going to make the tournament. And you had some teams, kind of a lower fringe teams, kind of make some runs that did help. But I don't know how much it would have helped if Mizzou would have beat Alabama.
Well, look,
didn't help it. Didn't help A&M to get there.
Right, the fact that A&M is a 7 seed with Mizzou is absolutely wild to me. And then it's crazy because, you know, I know the first 4 seeds are mainly what they look at for location and things like that. But, I mean, they didn't help Kansas, but we'll get to that later. But, like, they put Iowa State at a 6, and I think they might be going to Greensboro. If they would have put Iowa State as the 7, which is probably more where they would belong, and put Texas A&M as that 6, they're playing in Des Moines.
Right.
So it's very interesting kind of how that all worked out and seeing some of the teams get certain seeds. I don't know. It's so hard to like put your mind into what the people picking the seeds are thinking about. Like, are they taking, is it the net? Is it schedule? Is it strength of resume? Like, you, sometimes it makes sense and sometimes it just absolutely does not.
The only team I saw that I thought that doesn't seem right to me is Texas A&M. Now, you did have to – the first month of the season counts, and A&M was terrible. I think Tennessee's too high, but that's just because I just don't think Tennessee's as good as a lot of people think they are. Like, I understand why the committee made them a 4 seed. I just don't – I wouldn't, having seen them play. But the only – like, and understand, this is – there's 68 pieces to the puzzle, and, hey, there's always going to be a couple things, right, that make you scratch your head. A&M, I would be angry. I would be very angry if I was Houston because I've got a chance to play Auburn in Birmingham in the second round, right. Which I mean, that's an easy fix. Just take Auburn and then take West Virginia or well, that can't work, but whoever the 9 seed is that like plays Purdue or Kansas, just switch that and you're done.
So Illinois,
and, you know, and, mm-hmm. right. And I guess they couldn't play Arkansas, but switch Arkansas and Auburn, right? Arkansas is a 9.
Yeah,
in Birmingham, and Auburn's the 8, and they play Illinois because, I mean, given the 1 seed a road game in round 2 against the 9 seed, like, that just seems imminently avoidable to me.
When we talked about that, it seems like all year when I kept trying to say, hey, maybe Mizzou and Kansas will meet in the second round, and Gabe, that was basically your whole point the whole year, and then they went
and as it Houston. Turns out, apparently it could have happened. Yeah,
but it is wild, though, that A&M seed, if A&M wins their first game, they would play Texas.
But right. But the committee doesn't set up storylines like that. That never yeah. happens. So we're told.
Yeah, rumor has it.
Right.
Yeah.
Reportedly.
I mean, reported. Quinn Snyder just coincidentally played Duke in the second round one time. You know?
I will.
It just worked out that way.
Tennessee's seed is wild. Like, thinking of the fact that the number 5 SEC team, they were seeded 5th in the SEC tournament, is a number 4. Is wild to me.
I mean, when you guys watched the Missouri-Tennessee game, did you come away thinking Tennessee's a better basketball team than Missouri?
No.
Not really.
The entire game, like, I was, like, talking to myself, like, this team is not better. Like, I was saying that basically to Mizzou. Right. Like, this team's not better than you. There's no – they didn't play better.
I don't know that they're worse, but they're not better.
Yeah, I would say they're probably pretty similar. At this point in the season, I would say that they're similar teams.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a look at Mizzou's seeding here. Is they're number 7 seed in the South, taking on Utah State, the 10 seed in the South region. 26-8 are the Aggies. Missouri, obviously, 24-9. They're obviously also in Sacramento. That'll be a Thursday game on the March the 16th. Their path is interesting because they will have to go through Arizona. If they do get past Utah State, Arizona is going to be a tough game. When we were talking about what seed they'd be, it was like that 7, 8, 9 line that they'd be in. They were going to have to face a top 2 team either way. Arizona may not be the other 2 seeds. UCLA probably would have been a tougher one for them to face.
But Texas is a good team.
Texas is good. Marquette's not bad. So, I mean, they're not going to face a bad team the rest of the year. Shocker in the playoffs. They're not going to face a bad team. But we talked about kind of before this this podcast that Utah State is a team that can shoot it, and they have a lot of similarities to the Missouri Basketball Tigers.
Yeah, they've got, I think, 3 guys shooting 38% or better from three-point range. They're 11th in the country in three-point percentage. Now, the good news is that, I mean, we've watched this team all year. Elite three-point defense Missouri brings to the table, right? nobody ever shoots the ball well from outside against them. Missouri is kind of playing itself. Utah State doesn't play quite as fast as Missouri, but they're happy to play fast. This game is the second biggest over-under in the entire first round behind Gonzaga mm-hmm. and Grand Canyon. It basically is projected as like a 78-76 type game, I think. And, Utah State is not a great rebounding team. The one place where Missouri has the edge is in turnovers. Utah State doesn't turn it over a ton, but they also almost never force turnovers. And Missouri, you know, leads the country in turnover margin. So it's pretty clear, you know, Des Moines Hodge and those guys have to get some possessions away from Utah State, but I don't know. I'll be interested to see. I could see either team winning this game by 15 points because if one team comes out and the first 2 or 3 go down, like, you could see one of these teams shooting 60% from three-point range and just kind of running away and hiding if the other team starts slow. And it could go either way.
Yeah, and Utah State's not going to be scared to play Mizzou. I mean, you know, I'm sure they've also been watching film and they've seen our three-point defense, and then they, I'm sure, have seen our KenPom, which I'm pretty sure that Utah State's around top 20 in KenPom, which is wild. Once again,
they're 18th in the net.
Once again, I have no clue how any of that stuff is figured. It never makes sense.
But here's what this kind of proves, right? Everybody spent like 6 weeks freaking out about the net hates us and it's going to screw us in the tournament. It didn't. Because if you pay attention to the net, Missouri should be an 11 seed and Utah State should be a 5. Like, yeah. And that didn't happen. So I think it proves that all the time we spend worrying about these computers and the metrics, it's a little overblown.
Yeah, because humans are picking the seeds. Right. Mm-hmm. It's human beings. So, I mean, they can look at things a little bit more full picture than, I would say, a computer.
Last time they had a computer pick a national championship, they got rid of it. BCS. So, yeah, Utah State, Gabe, as you mentioned, 18th in KenPom. You said 18th in the net as well. They're 13th in terms of offense in KenPom, 64th in terms of defense, adjusted defense. Missouri is 10th in offense, 178th in adjusted defense.
So, I mean, that net kind of shows you what Missouri would be with just an okay defense, right? If their defensive numbers were average, because they have played a tougher schedule, clearly, than mm-hmm. Utah State. So if their defensive numbers are just average, you're talking about a team that's like top 10 to 15.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
Yeah, I think it said they had 2 quad one wins. I think they only have, Utah State only has 2. And I think they're both maybe Boise State. Who is
both in the last 9 days. Yep.
Wow. Yeah, recently. Yeah. So, I mean, it could be interesting. I mean, they might be playing their best basketball right now, which is the best time to play your best basketball, I guess.
Well, and like the danger here is not that it will be Utah State, but this is the time of year where someone like Utah State always comes out of the woodwork, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't seen this team play at all. I don't really know anything about them. Oh, hey, they're in the Sweet 16. You know, I mean, which is why we love this tournament. And so what you've got to guard against is the name brand bias. Because I said on our live show last night, I said, look, Missouri's a 7 seed, Utah State, it's fine, but like, this is a game Missouri should win. And then somebody immediately responded, Utah State's favored by 2. I said, well, I'm surprised by that, but that it's name brand bias. That's all it is.
Yeah. A lot of people that I saw were high on Utah State before the bracket selection and everything. A lot of people I saw said, hey, Utah State could be that team that makes that run, as you're mentioning, Gabe. And looking at kind of the way that they're made up, they're built like Missouri is. When we talked about that again, and I'll say it again, is like, if they're hot, they're going to be hard to beat. And especially with a team like Missouri that has a worse defense than they do, it's going to be an interesting matchup to see how basically Missouri plays Missouri is what this basically comes down to.
Well, and they could get hot and all that, but also 2 weeks ago, nobody was sure Utah State was in this tournament.
Yeah.
You know, without those wins over Boise, I'm not sure they're playing.
Yeah.
Another little fun fact about if we do beat Utah State, you know who plays for Arizona is Courtney Ramey from St. Louis. Who
I was going to say Damon Stoudemire, but that was the last time Missouri played
Arizona. A little bit further back.
And Arizona is like they're – this set of games is going to be incredible to watch because they're an elite offensive team that, I mean, they go back and mess around and do some things on the defensive end too, but it's mostly offense, you know. I mean, that they actually, their game with Princeton, the over-under is the same. It's 154.5. So two of the three highest totals in the NCAA tournament first round are in Sacramento Thursday morning. So
shout out Sacramento.
But like, isn't that what we've said, though, that Missouri needs all year? Look, they can't play Mississippi State. They can't play that type of game. They need a team that is willing. And the way Missouri wins this game is pretty simple. It's the same way it won the Tennessee game. It's we're going to convince you to run with us. And once you start running with us, we don't think you'll take good enough care of the ball to win. You know, I mean, sometimes I almost think Missouri can bait a team into – because, look, they'll make some early threes. They'll get a couple transition baskets, and all of a sudden they're thinking, hey, we can do this. This team doesn't play any defense. And then the next thing you know, they've turned it over on four straight possessions, and it's 11-0 run. Right. You know, so.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting matchup. Looking at that that whole south side of the bracket, Alabama, they get it put into the number one overall seeds bracket in the south. They're going to be playing the winner of Texas A&M Commerce versus SEMO. And the 8-9 is West Virginia and Maryland. That's an interesting little 8-9 there. I think both of those teams are interesting is probably the right word of like, something's going to happen there. San Diego State.
Either one will get run off the floor by Alabama.
Correct. Yes. I think that is, let me look at the other 8-9s real quick. Yeah. I think that is probably the easiest 8-9 matchup out of all of them.
There were a lot of boos when Bama was announced at the selection show at Mizzou Arena yesterday, and a whole lot of cheers for SEMO. So a lot of Mizzou fans are big SEMO fans the next great day.
Well, get a hold of their horses because they got to beat A&M Commerce.
They are underdogs in that game, I saw.
They are, yes. But San Diego State also in that bracket with Charleston.
Also, if you are putting money on Texas A&M Commerce and SEMO, like, seriously, guys, just
1-800 bets off.
You hate money. You hate your own money.
1-800 bets off.
You might hate yourself, honestly, at that point.
Yeah, call, give them back that hotline number again. They definitely need that.
Yeah, I was doing the live bets I was only doing totals. I was doing live bets over under totals in like the Big Ten championship game or not championship. It would have been either putting as Rutgers. What was that quarterfinal?
Quarterfinal.
Semifinal. Too. Yeah.
Quarterfinal.
I was placing some over-unders. That was a good time. I'm praying for Florida Atlantic to hit two free throws with 0.5 seconds left to hit an over. Maybe it wasn't a good time. I'm recanting it. And I think it's not that good of a time as I remember. Oh well. But I think this is an interesting team I wanted to bring up is Furman. Furman is a team that seems like a lot of people are high on for some reason. Now hand up, haven't watched a lot of Furman basketball. But people are saying 27-7 going into the tournament playing Virginia could be a fun one to watch out for.
Virginia, I mean, they've never lost in the first round to an underdog, have they?
No, I don't think so.
Does that happen? Like, weird things happen when you only score 49 points a game.
Yeah, Virginia, I mean.
I want to see Virginia-Alabama simply – because like Virginia might not get 20 points in that game.
Yeah. I've got the Kim Palm up here. I'm finding where they are on the adjusted offense.
I'm going to guess somewhere in the 200s.
They are only 74.
Interesting.
It's a bit higher than I thought.
I guess it's just, they might be efficient on offense. They're just so slow. They still don't score.
I think Kent State's another interesting one. They're playing Indiana, and Indiana is so up and down. Like, you watch them go and play Purdue and play great and then get blown out by whomever. They're just a wild team to watch. And that's kind of – those are two kind of closer proximity schools, both being Midwest, you know, Indiana, Ohio. So that's a good one to watch, I think, as well.
I like Providence over Kentucky. I think Kentucky's done caring about this season.
That's a good call.
I really like, and this is a selfish reason that I like it, and most of our listeners will probably also like it, but I love the Arkansas-Illinois game.
I thought you were going to say Howard.
Oh, yes. Love Howard as my sleeper. No, I like the Arkansas-Illinois game, but mainly because that means no matter what, that only one of our three biggest, I would say, basketball rivals right now will make it into the Sweet 16. And that's a good day. Only one of them can make it. That's a good day.
It also means that no matter what, Kansas is playing a preseason top 12 team. Yeah. Like, I understand Arkansas and Illinois did not play that way, but they have enough guys that all they've got to do is wake up. Like, I think you could argue those are more talented teams than Kansas. Just sheer talent.
Arkansas, for sure.
Yes.
1,000,000%. And they're playing their best basketball now, too, because they have Nick Smith Jr. back.
Well, they were till the second half against Texas A&M.
That's also true. I thought they were going to take that whole first half. I thought Arkansas was going to advance, and then didn't happen.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this bracket here for Kansas, and we talked about this before the podcast started, and Kansas kind of got a raw deal when it comes to the seeding of everything, because now I'm looking at this bracket. Holy cow, I can't talk. And like, they'll have to face the winner of Arkansas, Illinois, St. Mary's, also another really good team. UConn, one of those four seeds I could see making a really good run. UCLA, really good two seed. Gonzaga, obviously, always good. I mean,
that is loaded.
I mean, TCU's in there as well. They've got some teams that could end Kansas's run for a second national title very early.
And also, if it's Gonzaga or UCLA in the Elite Eight, that game's in Vegas. So, like, I know Kansas fans travel, but geographic disadvantage.
Very much so. Yeah,
UCLA's a little banged up, aren't they?
Yeah, they lost their best defensive player for the year. And lost to Arizona, I think. Maybe beat Arizona in the Pac-12 title game. I don't know. Those games start way too late for me. I don't watch Pac-12. Yeah.
No.
The West Coast doesn't matter. It's just
it's literally why I can tell you nothing about Utah State. Besides the fact they play in the Mountain West, like every game they have, it starts when I'm going to bed. I don't see it play.
Tip off at like 11:30.
And I don't plan to start now. I'll tell you that.
No, but Kansas fans, I do think they were whining on Twitter. Shocker. Kansas fans whining on Twitter. They might have a good reason to whine. Also,
has anybody ever gotten on Twitter after the selection show and said, good job, really like where my team's at?
That's great.
My team's got a smooth sailing, did the Sweet 16, we're good. Everybody in our region sucks. Well done, selection committee.
Kansas always gets Omaha or St. Louis or Des Moines or Kansas City. I'm just like, okay, for one time, you have to get on an airplane if you make the Sweet 16. Like, I think you'll be fine. You can drive to Des Moines. You can fly to Vegas. I mean, you know Frontier has those cheap flights to Vegas. You take that right back home.
Do they have any to Sacramento? I'm asking for me.
Yeah, I didn't
know Sacramento had an airport until 15 minutes ago.
It does. I'm flying directly into it. Yeah.
No. Sacramento, that's a tough draw. I was telling you that I tweeted at you as soon as I saw that Sacramento was the draw, because we had a conversation. You said, as long as it's not, did you say Birmingham or Sacramento? Is that what you said?
Orlando. I think somebody had asked me. My rankings in order of preference were 7th Orlando, 8th canceled the tournament, and 9th Sacramento.
The committee listened.
Yes. Hey, but if we
I know, the tournament's still on.
If we can win, if we can beat Utah State, if we can beat Arizona, Louisville, short drive from St. Louis, at least. That's like four and a half hours for me. Yeah. So
well, here was,
that's the second best one we could have gotten.
Here was my first reaction to this bracket, though, was, well, I don't think this is going to be the year we see the first Final Four. Because yeah. Alabama's still in.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
But like, I mean, this... So what if they lose Thursday? Like, is this...
I still think it's a win overall as a season. I don't think it really changes a whole lot.
I agree.
It is, but then you have to wait, what, 365 more days to try to get a tournament win? So it's 14 years? I don't know.
Right. It'll be, I mean, like, it'll be a bummer, right, to see if you would see it end on day one, especially because playing on Thursday morning sucks, man. Because if your team loses the third game of the tournament, you just sit there and go, well, I got 60 more games and I hate all these teams. And I don't want to watch any of them. And this sucks. You know, I mean, if you lose, if you're one of those first three teams out, it's it kind of feels like, hang on, man. I haven't even seen Kenny and Charles yet. Like, was I really in the tournament?
Right.
Yeah. You want some bragging rights a little bit. I mean, you already know that either Illinois or Arkansas is going to be out. So you just want to make it at least further than one of them.
But even if you play like Thursday night or Friday morning, right? Like it's like, you know, when you go on Top Chef, it's all right if you're the fifth or sixth person sent home. But man, you feel bad for that first person that has to go home. You're like, you got cut in the quick challenge, man. You didn't get to like be on. Nobody even gonna remember you were on this season.
I love the Top Chef. By the way, new season started last week. Gabe and I, we can talk about it, I guess.
I used to watch it religiously. I haven't watched it in a while.
Started last Wednesday. Getting paid for that, by the way.
Top Chef could be a reach out, see if Top Chef wants to sponsor us.
Yeah, I'll reach out to Padma. We'll see.
I'll be on
see that. See if Padma and Tom want to be guests. Dude, if we get Tom Colicchio on Mizzou Tattoo, I'm effing retiring the next day. That's all there is to it. But I'm never doing another thing in my life if we get him.
That's fair. I mean, it's a high bar to cross.
Not sure he's ever watched a basketball game or a college football game in his life, but could be interesting.
I don't know.
Still.
He's got to play. I ate at one of his restaurants in Vegas one time. I bet he sits out there and he sits at the sports book. He's like, what's that live second half line on Utah State, Mizzou? Come on.
There you go, Kansas fans. You can go to Tom Colicchio's restaurant.
Yeah. There you go.
With all the money you save by not flying to Sacramento, you can spend $200 on dinner at Tom Colicchio's place.
Sacramento. So, I mean.
Yeah. But, like, winning one, if you win on Thursday, to me, unqualified success. Zero complaint. Yeah. I don't care if you get beat by 90 by Arizona. Everything about this season was good.
Agree. I think I do think that clearly the trajectory is moving upwards. I think no matter what happens, you can tell that. You can tell it by the players that are visiting. I mean, I used to not even pay any attention to it because I'm like, I have no clue who this unranked player is or like this two-star player is. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have elite players coming and visiting. That's a win already. But for me, I still need that one win. And I don't know why, but maybe that's just the
Well, because it's been 13 life. Years.
That's yeah, like, it's been mm-hmm. since I was a senior in college, since we've gotten one. That is wild.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
Gabe, I've got a question for you. We haven't mentioned this on the podcast yet. Gabe, or not Gabe, you didn't sign an extension. Dennis Gates signed an extension. No extensions for Gabe, reporting it here first. Extension for Dennis Gates, though. Thoughts on that, and was it too soon?
I understand if some, and look, I've said I probably wouldn't do it until there was a reason to do it, but give Missouri credit, whether this was a result of somebody coming after him or whether this was preventative, hey, don't even think about coming after him. I'm good with it. I mean, the season he had, the way recruiting's going, the way he's energized this fan base and gotten people back in the building. Look, if you can do the extension they did in November, you absolutely do the extension they did today or this week. He earned it. I got no issue with it. And I think just as big as them signing it is that he was willing to sign it, that he signed a deal that basically said, I understand I'm not even going to interview for another job for 2 or 3 years, because as good as Dennis Gates might be, there ain't an athletic director in the country who's going to say, we'll pay you $20 million just to get here, and then we'll worry about what we actually pay you. I mean, this is handcuffs between Gates and Missouri for, I'd say, minimum 2 years, maybe three.
I totally agree about the November thing, because that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, this one makes way more sense than the one did right before we lost to Kentucky. So I'm super stoked we kind of tied him down, but also I love the extension and the raise, because I think it helps us also keep CY. And I don't know if CY wants to be a head coach. You know, he didn't talk about that on our podcast, I don't believe. But I think he likes working with Gates. I think he likes where he's at. And I think this only helps keep the pieces in place for that upward trajectory we were talking about.
Yeah, I agree. I forgot about the drink extension until you just brought it up. So thank you for that.
Yeah, there's nothing not to like about what he's done. And here's the other thing. And I understand that this is a little hypocritical of me, because I've been a little bit like not understanding why they signed the one they did in November. But ultimately, I'm not mad about it. I don't care, because it's not my money. But, you know, I mean, if in 3 years, if they have to end up paying Dennis Gates, you know, whatever, $13 million to go away instead of $6 million to go away, okay, I didn't contribute to that. Whatever, that's fine. I mean, we tend to get up in arms about these things, and then you're like, well, this is all monopoly money, guys. This is just a way to make sure they can say they don't have enough money to pay players.
It's like 25 students going to Mizzou, so it's really not, in the grand scheme of things, it's not that big of a deal.
Right.
Yeah. No, I liked it. The timing of it came at a good time, right, as they beat Tennessee. Would have been how hype would Columbia have been if, like, they do get that win, right, in that first round against Utah State, and then Dennis Gates' contract extension announced. But yeah. I know there was some buzz around Georgetown maybe wanting to
– Georgetown, Texas Tech were rumored a little bit. Again, I'm not sure why he would take either of those jobs over Missouri, and he probably wouldn't have. But they don't have to be jobs you'd take. They just have to be jobs an agent can call the AD and say, well, maybe. I mean, Mike Anderson got raises out of Georgia and Oregon, so come on.
I know the Cal job opened up too, but I mean, who would want to play or who would want to coach for Cal right now? So
do you guys know what Cal's record in basketball was this year?
Oh,
it was really bad. I saw
it. I found this the day they fired Mark Fox, and I had no idea. They were 3-29.
I thought it was hard to get worse than Louisville, but
Louisville looked at Cal and go, bro, your season sucked, man.
I was, when we were in Indianapolis at the combine, I remember looking up and seeing Cal playing somebody, and I was like, wow, Cal's bad. And I don't remember what their record was at that point. I still think it was 3-something. I don't think they won.
They did win two Pac-12 games.
Okay, they won two Pac-12 games. Okay,
so they only won one non-conference game?
Yes, they were 1-12 non-con.
Man, you scheduled those to win.
Not right. Cal.
They spent a lot of money this year.
Yeah.
Cal wants the adversity. They want to be behind the eight ball when the conference schedule starts.
That's a long way of saying, even if you somehow lose to Utah State, like, there's people out there that have it worse, you know.
It's true.
Yeah.
That is true. Dennis has some good stuff set up for next year too, with the recruits coming in. Should be an exciting season next year as well. Okay, before we go. Next week, let's see. This game is on Thursday, so we could still have another podcast before.
I mean, I assume we'll have another podcast next week, regardless, right?
Regardless, yes. But like, could there be another game? There could be.
They'd have to beat Arizona, but
yeah, we need to tell the Mizzou team that the further they play, the more Mizzou That's Who podcasts we get to record. So there's
true.
A lot.
Maybe they're just like,
a lot,
you know,
on the
let's
line.
Just end it now.
Look, I got an airfare to recoup, man. we gotta keep finding reasons to do shows.
Should just post your Venmo like right up here.
Seriously,
that's fair. All right, so predictions. Let's do this. Predictions. What is it? Utah State's by 2 points, right? Is that what they have them favored as? I believe when I saw it, Gabe. What do you think?
I mean, a 7-10 game is a toss-up, right?
Yeah.
There's not that much difference here. They're similar teams. I think that, you know, this is an old Missouri team. Like, I don't think they should be rattled by anything they're going to see in the – I forget what the arena is even called. But, you know, in the Kings Arena against Utah State, I imagine it's not going to be full or anything at 10:40 right. on a Thursday. Any situation like this, what good does it do to come on and say, I think Utah State's going to beat Missouri? I mean, come on, man. I don't know. It's a toss up. You take the home team, you do what the people want.
There you go. Man of the people.
But I mean, I think Missouri will win, but you know,
Maggie.
Yeah. I think experience wins out. I don't think Kobe, who knows? We don't know if Kobe's leaving this year. We don't know anything. I don't think Kobe, regardless, would want to go out like that. I think Kobe has a good game, bounces back from his 6-point game against Alabama, and I think that we get the win as well.
All three of us are picking the Missouri Basketball Tigers to win and break the streak. The streak will be snapped by the next time we're here.
It's really a no-win situation, though, because now if they lose, people will blame us.
Well, like, oh, yeah, now you all three of you guys.
I called out an Arkansas podcast last week because they did, like, a whole segment on the SEC tourney, and it was like, Mizzou, blah, 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 this. Like, they're going to get smoked. We didn't do that. We just said what we thought was going to happen, which is the way you got to do it. You can even secretly tell other people you think Utah State's going to win, so you can be like, well, I actually told these people.
You predicted it right somewhere. Fill out enough brackets. Exactly. You'll get it.
That's what I do. Fill enough brackets to get every combination. That's a lot of brackets. You can't actually physically do that.
I filled out one bracket, and it took me like 3 minutes. And then another.
I haven't filled mine out yet, which we'll see how that goes.
I haven't either, but I did write down a final four that I'm not sure if I'm going to pick them in my brackets, but I didn't know if you guys had a final four thought about
it. I picked Alabama, Marquette, Connecticut, and Texas.
Oh, okay. Ours are similar. I did Bama, Marquette, Texas, and then I put, unfortunately, Kansas.
See, I long ago just decided it's honestly, it's why I quit playing fantasy football too. Like, I don't pick things that I want, that I actively want to not happen.
Right.
So I would rather lose my pool and pick Kansas to lose to Connecticut than win my pool, especially because the pool, the prize in my pool is free time on Power Mizzou, and my account's already free, so I'm not trying to win anything.
I do like the UConn over Kansas pick. Truthfully, that's probably what I'll do in my bracket. Man, I don't know. Looking at the Final Four, I'm probably going to take Alabama because outside of that, like Arizona is going to be the toughest, but I mean, Alabama's good. Let's go with Texas in the Midwest. So Alabama, Texas, Marquette, because that sounds fun, and UConn.
See, there you go. We're exactly the same. And, I don't want that Final Four to happen because like three of those four teams I want to lose in the first round. Marquette's the only one I don't hate, but whatever.
I do want UCLA to win the bracket. I just don't know. We did a futures bet a while ago and I have the Chiefs. So it's like I have UCLA too. So I'm like, I mean, that would only be the second one, but you know, never know.
Well, here's a little behind the curtain is when you guys were talking about your Final Four, I couldn't hear you guys. I don't know what happened. I mean, obviously. Audio. I couldn't hear you. And so, like, when I live picked my Final Four, Gabe and I just are on the same wavelength, and it didn't matter, I guess. but hope I put
Tucker
it off.
I thought he was coming up with some novel concept. It's like, isn't that what I
said? Yeah, no, that just happened. Like, that just happened.
Like, oh. Marquette, because it sounds fun, and we both picked Marquette.
Well, well, let's see how all that goes. Yeah, we'll see if that actually makes my final bracket now. But hopefully I played it off cool that I didn't copy you guys and I was just trying to figure out what was going on with my headphones. This is really what was happening. But yeah, if you guys don't have anything else, I think it's going to do it for this episode.
I got nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
No baseball, no gymnastics news. No.
Oh, we did get a quarterback. Yeah. We got a quarterback from Nebraska.
Yeah, Daniel Kalen, quarterback committed out of Nebraska. So
and an offensive lineman from
from Washington, Missouri.
Yes, that's correct. So,
it's confusing.
Recruiting is happening. Spring game is this weekend. Literally nobody's going to notice because it's going to be like 27 degrees and the basketball team might be playing in the NCAA tournament.
We'll see. Hopefully. Yeah. Fingers crossed. Yes, the world's earliest spring game going on in Columbia on March 18th. It's the what we looked it up though live on the podcast. It was like what the earliest of all the Power Five schools.
It's it's the late winter game. Spring starts March 21st. So.
Oh, I think a Georgia fan messaged me just the other day and was like, "Oh yay, our spring practice starts this week," and I'm like, "Oh,
yeah, wait,
our spring game is on Saturday."
We've had 3 weeks of practices already. How does that work out? All right. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Thank you for listening to Mizzou. That's Who on wherever you listen to it. Make sure to like and subscribe to the YouTube channel as well. We'll be back next week breaking down whatever happens in Mizzou athletics. So we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard and think others would as well. You can find all six of our channels at KCSN. Covering the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou, by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.